2013, 9th of January, Bible study, fasting.
We sort of said that we will be looking at the topic of prayer and fasting and preparing to do some prayer and fasting, so I thought it would be a good idea to gather some information together on instructions on prayer and fasting, and for us to talk about it and prepare ourselves. This is not complete yet, but some more information, but there's more than enough for this evening to discuss the subject and work towards the topic of prayer and fasting. I know there are people who have never fasted. I won't say never prayed, because that's not quite the thing, but never fasted. There are some people who say, I don't need to fast. But we will look at that as we go through the subject. And the Lord Jesus fasted. Moses fasted 2 40-day fasts. And so there is an importance in fasting. There is a need for fasting, but we need to understand the reasons and when we fast, what we ought to be doing when we're sort of fasting from food. Some people just fast from food and just leave it at that. Well, it's fast and pray. It's prayer. And so I've always said, if you're going to fast, then when you're not eating, when you should be eating a meal or preparing and eating a meal, then use that time to pray. That's the idea in that sense.
What fasting is then, to fast and pray? Or
fast and pray, yeah. Really, well, Jesus, when they were fasting, they were praying as well, because it's a combination of two things. Fasting is only dealing with the flesh. Mm. Praying is dealing with spiritual things. Mm. And so what you're doing when you're fasting is you're holding the flesh down and giving less time to the flesh, and by prayer you're giving more time to your spirit. And so that's how it... Those are the basic nutshells. Those are the nuts and bolts. Mm. And we've got all the nuts and bolts, and we'll start to put them together and build something. How about that? Hey?
Yeah.
Sound like a good idea, doesn't it? Mm. And there may be some of you here that have never ever fasted. And we'll look at different types of fasting, how I think it can be done, as we go through this and over the next two or three sessions, maybe, in preparation to, as a church, to do some fasting and praying. Many times we've prayed, and I'm not sure how many have really done any fasting in the past, so there may be some of you that have never fasted, but it's okay. But we need also to be sensible in fasting, so we'll talk through it anyway as we move along. So the reason I've printed this off is because it can be your personal guide to fasting and prayer. Okay, so you've got a copy, you can write on it, you can scribble things on it. And so we've just got points here to go through, and these will be memory joggers to you. And maybe you might not have a question tonight, but as you maybe reread this and look at it again, you may find you have a question that you want to ask, or you can just pop a note on and ask the questions, and somebody will answer it, I presume. So, are you all ready? Good. And so we made a statement here: fasting is the most powerful spiritual discipline of all the Christian disciplines. Through fasting and prayer, the Holy Spirit can transform your life, and that's the key to prayer and fasting. Okay, it is a key. It's about you and your relationship with God. That's what prayer and fasting is about. It's about helping you develop and grow in your relationship, helping you become stronger spiritually than what you already are. We eat food, and if we exercise, it makes us stronger, doesn't it? If we eat spiritual food and we exercise the spiritual food, we shall become spiritually stronger. Just trying to use simple analogies of what is important that we need to realise. So, and there needs to be a balancing of these two things. No point gorging on just food all the time, because if you gorge and don't do any exercise, you become excessively fat and sluggish. And sometimes, even when in church, you can gorge yourself spiritually, but if you're not exercising yourself spiritually, if you, as Paul says, exercise yourself in the spiritual gifts, and if you're not exercising in the spiritual gifts, you just become spiritually fat and sluggish. In other words, you're of none effect in that sense. So the idea that for you and I is to be effective in our spiritual lives, because the Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers. And the way to deal with principalities and powers is to become spiritually strong.
Amen.
To become spiritually effective in God. And that the word of God is working in us. Our faith has risen to another level, has become stronger, and principalities will bow the knee to the name of Jesus. Amen. And will recognise the faith of God in us. Because it's not my faith. God's given me his faith.
Mm.
And we are partakers of his faith, as we are partakers of the divine life of Christ. So we're partakers of the divine faith of God.
Amen.
It's not my faith, because my faith will be weak and of no use. But when we have the faith of God in our lives, then we need to effect that with the word of God and cause it to become strong, and prayer and fasting will enhance it. Praise God. So fasting and praying can work on a much grander scale, we say. According to scripture, personal experience and observations, I'm convinced that when God's people fast with a proper biblical motive, seeking God's face, not his hand with a broken, repentant, contrite spirit, God will hear from heaven and heal their lives. Our churches, our communities, our nation and the world will be affected in a tremendous way. But what's the motivation?
For fasting.
Hmm. Think about the motivation, you see. Now, deep down, the motivation should be that we draw ourselves closer to God, that we are empowered by God, that we become more like him. That's God's desire, that you and I become more like him. And as we become more like God, more Christ-like, then the power of God will work in our lives, and it will change us, and it will bring us to a point where we will fulfil the Great Commission. Prayer and fasting can bring about revival, a change in the direction of our nation, the nations of the earth, and the fulfilment of the Great Commission. Each and every one of us has a commission in God.
Mm.
Some it may be a commission even within the local church. Some it will be further afield, etc. But it is still from God, and it is still a great commission. And it's important that we realise that the final Great Commission is to go out into all the world, preach the gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out demons.
Amen.
And you can't just do that just because the Bible says you can do it, because you need to be empowered.
Mm.
See, Jesus sent his disciples. Now, that word sent means that they were empowered. And he just didn't say to them, all right, you two, you can go to so-and-so, you two can go to so-and-so, and you two can go to so-and-so. There was an empowering, there was an impartation of that same spirit that was in Christ, was imparted to them as he sent them. So they weren't going in their own strength.
No.
They were going in the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were going with his anointing placed upon them. It's like wearing his robe, the moment, like wearing the ring of authority that says, I have the seal of the king. Which means I have the authority of the king.
Amen.
And so in that same way, prayer and fasting brings us to that point where we begin to be empowered to a greater degree by the power of the Spirit in our lives. The awesome power that can be released through, and as you fast, through the enabling of the Holy Spirit, there is a tremendous power that can be released through your life. You see, we've not got to limit who we are. The world does that, and does it quite well. You know, they look at your education, and they look at you and say, well, you can't do too much, can you? You know, you're filling your resume for a job, and they look at it and say, yeah, okay, that, you know, get rid of that one, and they sift you out. God doesn't do that.
Amen.
Your resume is as you press into God, and you begin to be like Christ, and you become the Christ-like one. And as we're the Christ-like one, nothing will stand in our way.
Amen.
And so we can press forward. You know, if you're looking to see victories in your own personal life, prayer and fasting may be the answer.
Yeah.
If you're looking to see victories in as you go out and affect other people, prayer and fasting is the answer.
Mm.
It's not just prayer and fasting, because in our prayer time and our fasting time, the word of God is being increased within us. It's the whole package. Salvation is just not getting saved and asking Jesus into your life. It's a complete package of salvation. Is for the sick, for the spirit, for the body, for the mind, for the soul. Every part of us is affected through the death of the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so it's a complete package. Nothing has been left out when Christ died and rose again.
Amen.
On those days. Everything, because Jesus said, it is finished. In other words, it's completed. This work is completed. I've finished it. Now it's up to us to enter into this finished work. And this will help us to enter into a greater degree into the finished work of Christ in our own lives. Fasting is one of the most neglected spiritual admonitions. In fact, it has been ignored for so long that it is difficult to find information on how to do it. And it is. You know, people fast in some strange ways. Seen people, well, they'll fast through the day, and then when they get to an evening time, they'll gorge themselves. I don't consider that fasting. That's just, well, I missed two or three meals, but I made up for it at supper time. Well, that's not fasting. That's not subduing the emotions and the wills and the cravings of the body. It's just saying, well, just hang on a bit longer, and you'll be all right, because when we get to, it's like when they do Ramadan. It was quite funny once. We went to Turkey and didn't realise it was during the Feast of Ramadan. I find it quite amazing. They call it the Feast of Ramadan and the fasting during daylight hours. Daylight hours only. And we went to a restaurant one evening, and we'd ordered our meal and just started to eat it. And there were some people sat round tables, and they'd ordered their meal, and nobody was eating. And until all of a sudden there was a sound, and the man went up in and began to say the prayers that allowed people then to say, well, you know, the fast for the day is over, you can now eat. Well, you should have seen them. They nearly dove into their plates. You know, it was like, as if, so what was it about? For me, it didn't seem logical in the way it was done. It was defeating the effect. There was, to me, it seemed non-effective in one sense. But because I look at fasting in somewhat of a different way, because it's more of it's a deeper spiritual thing. Not just, well, I'm doing it because we have to do it. It's part of our feast for these next few days, so we have to do it. No, do it with a sincerity, and do it with a real reason, that you might grow spiritually in God and see victories won in your life and in the lives of others. Because your life affects somebody else.
Mm.
We're all connected in some way. None of us are here by chance. You're here for a purpose, to do something important for God. And so we're here to see things fulfilled in our lives and in the lives of others. It can be difficult when you fast, and it's, for some of you who maybe have never fasted, we'll discuss ways of beginning for you to begin fasting, to do partial fasts. There are things that you can do called partial fasts as well. But the thing I want to emphasise most of all is that fasting, you replace the fasting with prayer, the Word of God, all the time. You are putting in.
Replace
the food with prayer. You're putting in spiritually instead of putting in physically. You'll not die from fasting. Be sensible, you won't die, but you will. Well, you will die. Some of the old flesh will die.
It will start yelling
and say, "Excuse me, but I could just, you know," and you'll get a smell of food and you'll think, "Oh, I could just manage a bacon butty, you know." Then chocolate biscuits look wonderful and those sort of things, and it's like, "No, I'm fasting," and I'll go and pray somewhere and seek God. But you won't die from fasting, I promise you. Not the way we're going to do it. So, but you will rejoice in the Spirit.
Amen.
Some questions here. Why should we fast? How to fast safely? How long and what type of fast is right for you? These are going to be some questions. These are questions that, as we move along, we shall answer, hopefully, all of these if we can. How to prepare yourself spiritually and physically. How to manage your schedule while fasting. See, that was something I once made a big mistake of. I was set for a big fast. I knew it. I wasn't fazed by food at all. I remember it and I thought, I'm in for a long fast. I could really knew it. And I got called out. I'd not eaten for 3 days. I'd been drinking, but I'd not eaten for 3 days. And I got called out and had to do something. And it demanded a little bit of extra physical effort. Well, at one point, I nearly passed out. Shouldn't have done the physical side. You see, there's this balancing. And I had to break the fast, which I was disappointed in at that time. So, you know, you just have to rearrange things as you prepare for any longer fasts of abstaining from food. If you're doing a partial fast during the day, it's not as big a problem, because most of us have missed a meal at least in a day. And you didn't die from it, did you?
No.
You look fairly well. So, you know, it's...
I think we've got enough reserves. After
plenty of reserves on after the Christmas period. So, how to deal with the responses of friends and loved ones, how to make your spiritual experience the best it can be, how to maintain nutrition, balance and health from the beginning to the end, including specific juices and broth recipes. So, you see, some people, if you do a long fast, I remember one time a friend, he'd done a long fast, and then he just decided, you know, came to the end of it and decided to break the fast. And I think he broke it with something like roast beef and Yorkshire pudding or something like that. Well, the guy was in agony.
Wow.
Absolutely in agony. He'd done nearly 40 days, or he had done 40 days. And
it's something like a
soup, wasn't it? He nearly killed himself. Nearly killed him.
Your stomach has been renewed,
you see. The linings are different on your stomach, you see. And nearly killed him. Absolutely in agony, the guy was.
You don't have to fast just to lose weight, like you said. It's one way to... It would help, wouldn't it?
Well, you get a double bonus on that one if you're thinking, well, I'll lose wealth at the same time, you know. But again, the thing is that you gain weight spiritually.
Amen.
How about that one?
Yeah.
You know, the target is that if you devour God,
yeah,
then you'll gain weight spiritually.
Yeah.
So
it's muscle then, not fat.
Yeah, that's right. It turns to muscle, turns to the powerhouse.
Yeah.
Not fat, as Ken says. So it's a good idea. We'll obviously look at some of the physical effects that can be expected. How to finish a fast, you know, in back to healthy eating. Because if some people aren't well, you know, they've things that they need, so they need to monitor these things and keep a watch, so that there are certain levels of fasting that may not be suitable for some people. But it's not impossible for everybody to fast at some stage, and to, you know, replace that by much more prayer and study of the Word of God that will cause them to grow. You know, you can do we've mentioned how Moses has done a 40-day fast. There are ways that you can do 40 days fasting. You can break it up into sections over a period of time, etc. You can do a full day fasting, or you can do a partial day fasting. It's not just for somebody else. It's not just, if you watch some of the God TV type stuff, it's not just for them, but it's for the you. Mm. God's interested in you right now.
Mm. Oh, man.
You are just as special as the people who were on TV.
Mm. I am.
I am.
Absolutely, remember that. You're just as special.
I'm special.
Absolutely. Special. You know, you are just as important as them on TV.
Amen.
And I can prove that from Scripture, because Jesus, when he saw that widow woman putting in just those two mites, and Jesus said, look, she's given
God
everything. She will receive a reward. You know, the rich man there, he's there going, look, everybody could hear how many coins were going in, you know. He got his reward. Mm. But the woman who just quietly popped hers in and disappeared away, God says, Jesus said, she will be blessed.
Yeah, Jesse, we're talking about that other day. She says, she's still talked about today. She's very famous.
There you go.
Actually,
and we don't even know her name.
No.
A poor widow woman, and we don't even know her name, but
Jesus,
the eye of God was upon her, and she was blessed.
Yeah.
You know? Mm. And she'll be nudging somebody in heaven and saying, that were me, you know, they're talking about me down there. They still remember 2,000 years ago when I did that. Wow. So it's not about how great you are. Remember, there are people who have become great evangelists, and in some cases it was a, I can't remember which instances were, but there was one instance where it was just a simple country preacher who went preaching the gospel for years, and a young man got saved, and that young man became a firebrand, and he went out and he preached the gospel and thousands got saved. But that man who led him to Christ only led one or two people to Christ in his lifetime.
But he was still saved, wasn't he?
Oh yeah, but
he was still important,
in fact he was very important, because he led this young boy who then was the one who began to lead thousands to Christ. You see, so it's not, we're important because we're part of God's kingdom. We're part of God. And he would be rewarded for part of the harvest that was reaped. So, okay, why you should fast, okay? If you do not already know the power and the importance of fasting, here are some very important facts. Fasting was an expected discipline in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. For example, Moses fasted at least two recorded 40-day periods. And Jesus fasted 40 days and reminded his followers to fast. You remember the story of the disciples, and they were trying to cast out the demon in the boy that was epileptic and ended up throwing himself in the fire at times, falling into the fire. They couldn't do it. And Jesus said to them, this thing goes out by prayer and fasting. We'll not get into that teaching, but it's not the demons that we need to deal with. We've got it, in our prayer and fasting, we are dealing with ourselves. Mm. We're not dealing with principalities and powers, we're dealing with ourselves.
Yeah.
We're empowering ourselves.
Amen.
We're we're cleansing our life spiritually, so that the work of and the Spirit of God can just flow through us in such a wonderful way that it changes somebody else's life. Uh-huh. We might make a small sacrifice, but we have a greater reward in the presence of God and in the things of God in the future. So fasting and prayer can restore the loss of the first love. You know, the first love for the Lord Jesus. Some people have, well, it talks in Revelation, doesn't it, about the churches in Revelation 1, you know, how you've lost your first love and have become cold. Well, fasting and prayer will draw us into a deeper love relationship, because in that time we're spending more time with God. Because we're spending more time, we're getting to know him and we're beginning to fall more in love with him because of the time we spend with him. And so it develops our intimate relationship with Christ. Fasting is a biblical way to truly humble yourself in the sight of God. Psalm 35 and verse 13 says, "But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer kept returning to my bosom." This is one of David's prayers when he was trying to be prayer for rescuing from his enemies. And so fasting and praying will change our lives in such a way. King David humbled himself through fasting. Fasting enables the Holy Spirit to reveal your true spiritual condition. Many people get so busy they don't have time to look at their own lives and analyse, do spot checks, where am I at, what am I like spiritually. Those of you that have cars, periodically you're supposed to do spot checks, aren't you? You know, check the oil, check the water, check the washers, check tyre pressures. Don't rely on technology to tell you it's all right, because it ain't all right. Technology breaks down. So you check your tyre pressures. These are things that you should... These are all things that spot checks that you do. And you do this in the natural, in the practical things, don't you?
Every time you check your mirror, don't you? Check your mirror. That's all before you start.
You're always checking something, aren't
you? The point that they learn you, isn't it?
Yeah, always checking. So we're always checking. We need to check ourselves spiritually.
Yeah.
We can easily just keep going on and think we're okay. You know, just sailing along quietly, everything seems to be fine. But we're not checking one or two things, and suddenly something hits us. There's a weak point in our spiritual life, and we become knocked over, and we can become crushed and broken if we're not careful. The Holy Spirit will quicken the Word of God in your life, and His truth will become more meaningful to you. Fasting can transform your prayer life into a richer and more personal experience. Fasting can result in a dynamic, personal revealing in your own revival in your own life, and make you a channel of revival to others. And it's important that you and I realise that, how can people find Christ? How did you find Christ? Somebody spoke to you.
Yeah.
Didn't, you know, you didn't sit in a room on your own and suddenly God came and stood in front of you. It's rare that that ever happens. It's somebody comes and shares the gospel. Somebody comes and shares the life of Christ. You know, some people become Sunday school teachers and teach children. But there has to be some life. To cause life to be birthed in somebody, there has to be life in you. And that life changes and brings life, you know, raises the dead. You were raised from the dead.
Roy
that's right, when Roy spoke to you. Revival was happening in Roy's life, and it brought life into you.
Amen.
And so the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is only is spread by word of mouth. Amen. There's no other way. Well, I know it's written, but if you remember, the eunuch, he was reading the word of God, the Ethiopian, sorry, he was reading the word of God, weren't he?
Yeah.
And he didn't understand it. And all of a sudden, Philip arrives, he's there, and he explains, hey, how can I understand this? So Philip joins him, begins to open the word.
Amen.
Spiritually, you see, Philip is empowered.
Mm.
And he opens the word to the eunuch.
Mm.
And then he says, here's water, what needeth me to be baptized? He's baptized, he's saved, he's baptized. And he's filled with the presence of God, and he goes on and spreads the word of God into Ethiopia.
Mm.
Wow. The message went into Africa.
Mm.
Fantastic, isn't it? You know, it's recorded in the word of God.
Yeah.
It was sent. The message of salvation was taken by the Ethiopian.
Mm.
And it went off into Africa. Praise God for that.
Amen.
And so we have to be inspired by the word of God. We have to be inspired in the spirit. And fasting will draw us close to God, that will cause us to be inspired, to quicken us, and that we can share the word with it. That in one sense, there's a fresh revival of the life of Christ within each and every one of us. And we move forward in that. Fasting and prayer are the only disciplines that fulfill the requirements of 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. Has somebody turned to that?
Yes.
Would somebody like to read that then for me, please?
If my people are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin and heal their land.
Yeah. My people who are called. Are you called?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You must be his people then. Well, are we going to humble ourselves and pray and seek the face of God?
Yeah.
And then it says, and turn from the wicked ways. Now, some of us might say, well, I don't think I'm wicked. But the more we draw closer to God, to him who is perfect, to him in which there is no sin of any kind whatsoever, the moment we begin to draw closer to him, the light of his life will expose anything in our lives. And there'll always be something. Because, you see, if you were perfect now, you would not be here. We would miss you. But sadly, you're not. So you are still here. And so am I.
Isaiah said, didn't it? Well, I am a man of
unclean lips. Yeah.
As he started to draw close to God.
That's right.
Exposed things in him. And I would have said Isaiah was a pretty kosher character.
Yeah, I mean, he was called by God into the ministry. But yeah, he said, me. Unclean lips. And as he drew closer to God, then the angel took the coal off the altar and touched his lips with the living fire of God. That's what we want, the touch of the living fire of God. It will change the lives of other peoples. Not only will it change our lives, but it will affect all that we come into contact with.
Well, the more you draw closer to God as well and read his word, the more you realise just how sinful you are.
Yeah.
Well, that's true, yeah. And that's what it's about. That's what the word does. The word is a light. And it searches into the depths of the heart of man.
It does, yeah.
Into the dark corridors of man. It searches. I often liken our lives to a building where it's a temple, and in the temple there are many rooms, and each room needs to be cleaned. And so you can't clean them all at once. You have to start a progressive work of cleaning. And so they have to begin to start cleaning the rooms and removing the junk and clean the room out and sanctify it, make it holy. And as we sanctify it and make it holy, we do that through prayer and through the Word of God. And fasting will add to that. So these are the things that are important as we do these. If you fast, you will find yourself being humbled. You will discover more time to pray and seek God's face. And as he leads you to recognize and to repent of unconfessed sin, you will experience special blessings from God. You see, you and I, we do things now and we think it's okay. But as we draw closer to God, God will put his finger on things and say, not anymore. You need to get rid of that. Are you going to put me first? You see, even there are things that get in our way, that hinder us moving forward in God, because they're standing between us and God and we don't realise it, because there's something else in front of that that's much bigger. As God begins that process of removing things, it's happened in my life, you think, oh, you know, I've really done well, I've got all these things and I'm coming on ever so well, and then one day God says, oh, I just want to have a word with you about something. You know, you feel that hand of God and he says, I just need to have a quick chat with you about something. And you think, oh dear, what's this going to be? And he says, there's just something I want you to deal with. And when he puts his finger on it, it's like, oh, that's a sore point. Ooh, I thought I'd dealt with that. I thought that had gone. He said, no, we need to deal with that. And that's what he does. He begins that process. And prayer and fasting allows God and the Word of God to search our hearts, to prepare our hearts, so that we are people who will be strong and effective in your ministries. Right? Because I believe each and every one of you has a ministry that you have to fulfill. It's not just for the leadership, but you have to fulfill a ministry and you have to start moving to fulfill the ministry. I cannot fulfill your ministry for you. You cannot fulfill your ministry through me. Right? Did you get that? You cannot fulfill your ministry through me. You have to begin to obey the voice of the Lord and do what he's telling you to do.
Yeah.
And you have to say, you might turn around and say, well, I'm not confident enough. Well, we're not talking about confidence. We talk not confident in yourself. Well, that doesn't matter. It's confidence in God.
Amen.
It's confidence in the Word of God. It's confidence in the Spirit of God. Yeah. And that you will receive through prayer and fasting.
Yeah.
Because you will know the power of God. You will feel the presence of God. You will feel yourself moving to another level. For any of you that have gone to a gym and worked out at a gym, over a few weeks you begin to see the difference. You can lift heavier weights, you can run for longer, and etc, etc, and you see the difference. You know, when you first went you could only run for 5 minutes, after next, you know, a few more times, suddenly you find you're running for 10-15 minutes and you're still not out of breath. Lifting weights, you first off you start with light ones, you know, I'm okay lifting these. And then he says, right, now we're going to move you on to some heavier ones. And, oh, and then you find that when you go back to those others, oh, I can do these forever. See? It's this development and moving on that God has for each and every one of us. And this is the growth that God has for you and me that has to come about through prayer and fasting. And only you can do it.
I know.
Only I can't fast for you.
What a shame.
You know, there just ain't enough of me to fast for all of you, is there?
No.
So you have to do it for yourself. This is what only you can do. We can do it as a group together, because that's to encourage one another. But I can't fast for you, because you have something to go through with you and God.
No pain, no gain.
Yeah, that's the old adage saying, no pain, no gain. One sense. Sometimes God has to lay his hand on you and begin to deal with things. And there are things that will come up during your time with God, because it will be a special time.
Yeah,
there will be things that come up that you would didn't know were even there. Because so many things have gone on that you block them out, you forget about them. And it might be an incident where something's happened in your life and God says, you didn't deal with this one. I did. God says, no, you didn't. And he put his finger on the spot. I used to go to a guy who, a relative of mine, for some physiotherapy. And you'd tell him where you got a bit of pain and that, and he'd say, oh, really? And he'd go somewhere else in your body and he'd push his finger. And it would react somewhere else in the body. And it was excruciating pain. I said, what are you doing? You know? He once said of me, he'd never seen anybody's legs come up so high off a bed, off the table. I said, I think you just want to inflict torture. Because he could find those points and body would respond. And sometimes it just needs God to put his finger and say, it's just this point here. and something else in your body reacts. But he's touching over here, why? But it's reacting somewhere else. And the Spirit of God just touches and says, deal with this, because it will affect all these other areas in your life later. Amazing, isn't it? You know, I remember Max, he put pressure somewhere up here, and the pain went from this right side, right down across, down to the left side, right to the foot. See, it's all cross-connected. And so there are things even in the realm, in our emotional side of life, where that have gone on, and God says, we need to deal with that in the realm of the spirit. And he puts his finger on it and has a reaction over there. And it, whoa. I didn't realise these were connected. God wants you to deal with it with him. So it is important. How to fast safely. It's an important thing, I guess. As you begin your fast, you may hear from concerned loved ones and friends who urge you to protect your health. And they are right. You know, some people may have some reasons why they can't go without fluids for any length of time. And so you wouldn't encourage somebody to fast on from fluids for any length of time. There are some people with conditions in their body where they have to maintain their sugar levels, etc. And so there are certain things they have to deal with to maintain that. So, but because you've got these issues, these problems at this time, that doesn't mean that you cannot fast.
No.
But it means you have to do it with wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And in that fasting, as you, and I'm going to say this in faith, as you draw closer to God and as you become more empowered by the Spirit of God, some of these things are going to be cured and healed.
Amen.
Because there's no sickness in God.
No.
And sickness cannot enter into the presence of God.
Amen.
And I come into that point, folks, where, you know, if we will come to that point, entering into the very presence of God, sickness will be driven away.
Amen.
Because Jesus touched lives and changed them. There were people that literally came to him, and before he even touched them, they were healed. His very presence. It talks of Peter when he walked down that street towards the temple, to the beautiful gate. He says, even his shadow healed them. He hadn't even touched them. But the very presence of God that was moving through their lives at that time was so powerful. Lives were being changed. Hey, and what happened 2,000 years ago can still happen today. Because God has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
He said, I don't change.
No.
Right? So guess what we have, and we need to change back into the image of God.
Yes.
That's where we've got to get to, and prayer and fasting will draw us to that place. It certainly won't drive us away from him.
No.
It will draw us to him if it's done right.
Yes.
And so that's what we want to spend time and prepare ourselves for. By all means, you know, in some cases you may have to consult your doctor before you begin a fast. But also beware, doctors are not used to this subject.
I wouldn't.
You know, when you talk about fasting.
I went to Dr. Jesus instead.
Yeah. But if you've got something, you need to talk to somebody. And we can discuss and advise and help. And then monitor what's happening. It's important. Because it is no good making yourself ill, because you will not benefit. Alright, you will find, and let me tell you this, when you start fasting from certain things, if you like from tea, coffee and chocolate and things like that have some form of addictive nature in them, or caffeine.
Mm.
Then yes, you will find you may get a headache coming on. Well, one of the ways of helping avoid that is before, well, we'll get to this probably later on, is that you start reducing it before you get to the place of fasting. You know, make it easy on yourself, sort of thing.
It's like you can feel a bit dizzy as well, a bit kind of...
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what happened to me when I was fasting and I had to do some physical work. So there are certain... You have to prepare yourself physically, mentally... And we are preparing ourselves spiritually. We have to have a look and deal with the whole man, you see. And so that's something that we have to deal with as we move along. So we have to be wise, probably is the best thing we can put in that statement there. We have to be wise. We have to listen to our bodies and look at the things. And don't do something silly and dangerous. Yeah. And if you're on some form of medication, you need to check. Make sure that if you went and did, say, maybe a 2 or 3 day fast, that it's not going to interfere with your medication. I would think something like a partial fast will probably not interfere with most medications.
Mm. The only thing with me is certain tablets I take, it says you've got to eat food.
Yeah. Well, the question is...
Probably breakfast, and that's it, and have nothing to eat for the rest of the day.
That's right, that's just what I was going to say.
You could do a morning fast.
Yeah,
well,
what I'd do on that, I was going to ask, I could probably do... Because I only take them in the morning.
Right, well, that's what you'd have. So what you would have, the thing you would try and do is have a very small breakfast in the morning and then just leave yourself to... And depending what sort of fast you were on, and do it that way. And then that way would help you with the medication, etc. But we'll discuss those things as we move along. These are things that you have to be sensible, but at the same time, because you're taking taking the rest of the day to spend time in the presence of God, seeking God, the Word of God, and that time that you would have been preparing and eating food, you're preparing spiritual food, and you're eating spiritual food, and you're spending time in communication, in conversation with God, and you are waiting on God to deal with your life and to prepare you for your next steps. Notice I didn't say next step. Next steps in God. Because we are walking on, we are moving towards the things of God. So, when you are assured that you're in good health, you are ready to begin your fast. In spite of the absolute safeties and benefits of fasting, there are certain persons who should never fast without proper supervision. Okay, and give some idea of persons who are physically too thin. Or emaciated. Persons who are prone to anorexia, bulimia, etc. All those type of things, you wouldn't sort of... You have to really work on something with those people. Those who suffer weakness or anemia. Page 3. Persons who have tumours, bleeding ulcers, cancer, blood diseases, or who have heart diseases. Those who suffer chronic problems with kidneys, liver, lungs, heart, or other important organs, individuals who take insulin for diabetes or suffer from other blood sugar problems such as hyperglycemia, women who are pregnant or nursing. You know, again, there's just care. It's not that you cannot fast, but it is a care of how to fast, it is being wise, so that you monitor these things, and in some cases you may be just doing partial fasts, which is fine, because again it's about this, it's not about the fact that you're going without food, that's not the point. The real crux and powerhouse of it is the fact that you're actually spending time, more time in the presence of God, and you're saying to your body, shut up, you're not going to eat for a little bit longer, we're going to spend time and we're going to speak to our Heavenly Father.
Stop moaning
yeah, stop moaning and groaning, we're going to spend time in His presence, and that is so important. So that's the key that we are trying to get to, that it's about more prayer, more time in the Word, more time in the presence of God, because we're drawing closer to God. And the more time, well, if you remember, Jesus went into the wilderness, and he came out from the wilderness a totally different person, empowered. Totally different. He came out from the wilderness experience because he, that prayer and fasting had drawn him to that place where he was just soaked, fully soaked in God, and he was empowered, and the things of this world no longer had any hold on him in any shape or form. Like Moses, when he went up the mountain, you know, he received the Ten Commandments, spent time in the presence of God. God said he's the most humblest man on the earth. You know, tremendous statements about Moses. And so it's important that as we realise that fasting and praying for us is so important for the future, as we grow and we develop, it's part of your development, it's part of your growth, and you and I need to do this, and as we do it, we'll see God changing our lives in a tremendous way. Amen. It's nearly 9 o'clock. Do you want me to continue?
Yes, please.
Okay. We must finish the sheet.
All right, fine. You can put, yeah. All right. How long and what type of fast is good for you? If you've never fasted before, well, we applaud you, even your interest in it at the moment. Yeah. Who's never fasted before?
Oh, I did when I went to hospital, but that one, I wasn't aware of
but that. You weren't aware of that, no. In the sense that it wasn't a choice
that
you
made, was it? No, it was nil by mouth and story.
Who's written that up here, nil by mouth? I didn't.
I've never willingly done it.
No, well, that's the question. Who's never willingly or made that decision themselves to fast and pray?
Well, I've kind of fell into it and not eaten all day, but I just haven't done it. It's not by personally thinking, right, I'll fast.
Yeah. So there's you see, some people just, some churches will say, oh, we're having a day of fasting. And so I'd say, oh, we're having a day of fasting. But what did they mean? What did they do? There was no direction, there was no purpose. So I'm going to readdress that. And so that when we say we're going to be praying and fasting, maybe we'll target some things that was, you know, there are certain things to do with the church that we're going to pray and fast for, but also at the same time there's prayer and fasting within your own life to bring you to a position and place in Christ. Okay? Good. So it's probably just maybe a couple that's not prayed and fasted today, that's fine. Fasting has been a major emphasis in many lives of the great spiritual leaders throughout history. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist denomination, fasted every Wednesday and Friday and required all his clergy to do the same. I wonder how many Methodist ministers now fast on a Wednesday and a Friday. I might ask that question. I think I know what the answer might be. So... But obviously it was to encourage them to come to that point of being more effective in preaching the gospel, in being empowered with the gospel, so that they were changing the lives of others. Because John Wesley travelled so many miles on a, and preached the gospel, planted so many churches, had tremendous meetings of revival, etc. Part of this was not due to the fact he was just good at quoting the Bible or speaking. Much of it was because he spent time praying and fasting in the presence of God. Effective ministers of God, from the Apostle Paul to Martin Luther to John Calvin, have made it a continual part of their walks with God. Prayer and fasting is not really spoken about much. I don't think it's a subject that has been brought up much at all in the, what shall we say, the newer churches that we are now. It's all about rejoicing and feasting. Prosperity. And I'm not against any of those at all. But there's very little mentioned about fasting, if any. So it is important. None of these men had a fast formula. That was the only right way. Fasting is about condition of your heart. It's about preparing your heart. It's not necessarily about the number of days that you fast. You know, if you're going to do a 40-day fast, I think, as we've said here, you've got to be inspired by God to do it.
What, you know? Has 40 got to do with anything, the number 40?
Yeah, it has, but we're not going to get into 40s tonight.
I just wondered.
Yes, it has, it has, yeah. But we'll come back to that later. I'll talk to you later on that. So one of the things for those maybe who've never fasted is that we need to say you start slowly. Fast for one meal a day, or one day a week, or 1 week a month, or build up. Again, it's as we said earlier, it's about like muscles, building your spiritual muscles. And so that over a period of time you're able to fast longer, it becomes easier. I remember as a when I was younger, and I used to have to repair my own car. I used to have it in bits. I can remember going down to the garage, which was quite a distance from home, and I'd have the car in bits, and I'd be there all day, and I'd take nothing down to eat and nothing to drink, and I went all day without anything to eat and anything to drink, and I worked on a car because I was so focused on what I needed to do. So, you know, and I'll say, for me, in reality, I suppose that what that says to me as an individual is if you get that focused on something, everything else, and you've all done it at some start, you've been so focused on something, doing something, you've been so engrossed in something, you didn't realise what time it was. Yeah?
Yeah.
And you'd not eaten and you'd not drank. Yeah? And time had rushed by and you suddenly realised, I haven't eaten for hours and I've not had a drink for hours. Well, that same being engrossed in God will take you through periods of fasting. But you see, yeah, it's discipline. But I'll tell you what, it will be different. See, the devil's not going to challenge you when you're doing something. Like when I was working on cars, you know, it's all right for Andrew to work on cars, because fine, I'm not bothering the devil in any way. I'm not a trouble to him. But you move it now and spend that same amount of time in prayer and the Word of God, now he's trouble. Now I've got to disturb him. I've got to irritate him. I've got to break his concentration. I've got to cause him to want to drink, want to eat. And I've got to disturb him. And so principalities and powers would seek to try and do that. And it becomes different. Trust me, it does. It will happen. So it won't be just like when you're engrossed in something that you've been doing before of the world's time. Maybe you, when you play the piano, you're playing and you're practicing for that long, and then suddenly you look up the clock and you think, where's all that time gone? I've been at it for 4 hours and not realised. Or, you know what it's like, computers. Oh, I always say computers swallow time, don't they? You're on a computer and you know, you're sat there and you're doing things and you're so keen to finish it, and suddenly you look at the clock and you think, you've not even moved, have you?
No.
You've not got up for a drink, you've not got up to eat, you've just been absorbed by this box and you spent hours on it. You think, where's all this time gone? Me and Amy, we used to work well 2 o'clock in the morning on computers, didn't we?
Yeah.
Inputting data and information. Grace had gone to bed and left us to it. We just used to get on with it, didn't we?
Yeah.
And come back next morning and carry on.
You didn't want to miss out.
No. But this is the thing of hungering and thirsting after God. That's the important thing that we've got to get to.
And I know you said about fasting, and you can fast and do one meal or something like that, but how does it work with drinks as well? Could you fast for a full day but drink coffee and stuff like that?
But you're allowed a bit of water, aren't you?
No. Coffee's a no-no.
That's caffeine.
It's caffeine.
Yeah,
tea's a no-no. You're better off with water and, in some cases, juices.
Yeah.
What if it's decaffeinated?
No, it's still no.
No.
Alright. I'm only just wondering.
Yeah. No, just water or juices. Forget your teas and your coffees. Mm. Just leave them and your chocolates, you know. Oh. You see, those are the things that we like. Right? It's this thing of bringing your body under some form of submission.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And saying,
I thought you might say that.
Yeah,
I knew you would.
You, body, are going to do as you are told. By the Spirit of God, I'm in charge of you, right? Present your bodies, it says, as a
living
sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. So it's about saying to your body, you're not doing that. You're not having that.
No.
You'll soon find out as you start doing it. I'll tell you, you'll see the challenges that come up.
The power of thought coming, isn't it?
Oh, you know, you can even smell them, you know. Anyway, then you can guarantee somebody will be cooking a bacon sandwich and you'll be downwind of it.
That's like chip shop at Cleethorpes.
Yeah, there you go. That will not work, you see.
You'd stand there.
Yeah. Don't work, you see.
So. Do you know what I would do it other morning? I got a delivery. I got up in the morning, I'd had my cup of tea, and I'm sat there with a pot of tea, and I had a delivery come, and I've ordered the Hairy Bikers, the Hairy Dieters.
Oh, yeah.
I've ordered that. Well, looking through that, well, you look at pictures in there at food. I thought, I'm starving, I want my breakfast.
We're talking about fasting.
I know.
Not feasting.
Not the opposite.
Hide it, Christy.
I'd have to hide that away, I would. Oh, but it looks delicious, the food, don't it?
Hey,
anyway, sorry.
We're fasting, not feasting. That's another day. There's always one, isn't there?
There is. I just tell you that.
The Bible talks about two types of fasts, right? There's the partial fast, which is described in the book of Daniel. Although the water fast seems to be custom for the prophets, there were a 3-week period in which he abstained from delicacies, delicacies of meat and wine. And let me say, and so the things that were a delight and that they liked, they would fast those things as well. You see, that's another type of a partial fast, the things that you really enjoy. You know, bacon sandwiches and
bacon sandwiches.
Of course I do like bacon sandwiches. Every biker likes a bacon sandwich. You know.
Because the bacon sandwiches keep coming up in
and or eggs, bacon, beans, and tomatoes, and sausages.
Hey, we're fasting.
And but what I'm saying is that you can then say, well, I'm not having any of that for a month. Or you have to. There are various ways that you can develop fasting. Now, the two primary types mentioned in the Bible is the absolute and the supernatural absolute fasts. These are total fasts, no food, solid or liquid, and no water.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, right.
Oh, dear.
Now, that is...
odd.
These are challenges, yeah. These are spiritual challenges. Paul went on an absolute fast for 3 days.
Mm. Nothing at all?
No.
That's what it says.
Absolute is not, isn't it?
Went on an absolute fast for 3 days following his encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. Mm. Right? He had an encounter with God, you see. And he went on this fast to find his direction and his future in God. Moses and Elijah engaged in what must be considered as the supernatural absolute fast of 40 days. And you'll find that in Deuteronomy chapter 9 and verse 9, 1 Kings 19 and verse 8. And these were these supernatural fasts that God empowered them through it and gave them tremendous abilities and great wisdom. Now for us really at this time when you're beginning to practice the early stages of fasting, recommend that you drink plenty of liquids. It's good water. If God leads you to take, you know, to go and do an absolute fast, well, you should obey, but you have to follow what God is doing, but at the same time you will be being prepared by God. As I said, what you don't do is when you think, well, I'm going to be fasting for a couple of days, I'll have a great big meal and I'll stock up. That is not what you do.
No.
Because what you will find out is that in next to no time, once you've started your fast, your body's saying, and there's such a craving going on. So what you do is you begin to reduce down the sizes of the meal.
Mm-hmm.
So that you're actually preparing yourself. You're preparing your body. You're preparing yourself mentally and physically to commence the fast. To make life easy on yourself so that you can spend the time in the presence of God, not distracted. But if you've got massive cravings because you decided you're going to gorge yourself, you know, it's not going to work. It has to be the other way, working it down. So, I mean, for us, a lot of us, you know, we know about the fact of we need to drink. Water-only fasts, that last of more than several days needed to be undertaken with complete rest and under medical supervision because of extreme danger of over-toxification, breakdown of vital bodily tissues and loss of electrolytes. So you've just got to be careful when you do total abstinences. So you can, for a short period of time, just do a water fast. Don't force yourself beyond certain things. You have to look at this and be guarded as you do it. Be sensible, yeah. Be sensible. For instance, you won't be doing it without fluids.
I need little things and different things in the kidneys.
Yeah, that's right.
I've got to push my body out.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and so these are things to be aware of. And so we're not forcing anybody into you've got to do this because you have to.
I could go a couple of hours, that wouldn't be a problem, you know, and I'd be all right. I couldn't do more than 24 hours, though, because I have to flush my body through.
That's right, yeah. No, it's understandable. But you see, you can abstain from food, and you can take liquids on board, and your body will function okay. Within, you know, but you don't, obviously you're not going out trying to be overexerting yourself as well. You have to know that you can prepare yourself in such a way to fast. It's somewhat different now at times to the days when of the Bible. Life was different then. Our work duties and rotas have to be worked into it so that we can really spend time in the presence of God properly, and also be fit if we're working every day, so we can be fit as well for work. So these things have to be watched over at the time. The practice of water and juice fasting, that's a better way at times of doing it, especially if you're fasting for any extended period of time. You do need your fluids. When it comes to your final decision about what type of fast is right for you, the best advice we can give is to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. He will guide your heart and your mind as to what is best for you. Remember, the most important consideration in fasting is your motive. Your motive. Why are you fasting?
To get rid of the old and let in the new one.
Well, hopefully that's part of it, yeah.
Let your flesh die.
That's right.
And receive the stronger spiritual.
Absolutely, yes, definitely. To seek something personal from God's hand, or to seek his face in worship, praise and thanksgiving. Those are some of the key motivations. You know, it's not purely just to get for oneself. It's to get that you might be a blessing to many others. And that through prayer and fasting, you will see other people's lives changed. And for each and every one of us, we shall hear that great phrase, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord." And so it's important that we just do this, for we have the right motivation. Some people will maybe even encourage people to fast so they can get rich quick. Well, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. Pray and fast so that the hand of God will be upon you. And as you draw closer to God, you will see and know the mind of God for your life. And you will pull down the strongholds of the devil. You will cause your life to be less affected by the demonic and more affected by the Spirit of God. And as we pray and as we fast, we will see strongholds being brought down, and we will see the kingdom of God being established in our lives, and also in the life of our nation. And that is what it's about. And you, when you look at prayer and fasting in Scripture, it was about, in some cases there was some repentance, and then they were seeking God for God to intervene and preparing themselves to take the next step forward in God. And so these are important things that we have to realise. It's preparing yourself spiritually and physically. Have we got time to do this?
Okay. I will be inclined to still believe that, because I think that's quite an important session.
Right.
I don't think it wants to be rushed.
Well, no, probably not. Okay, that's fine. I'm happy to do that. We've done just over an hour anyway, I believe, so. Continue on from
paragraphs you've more or less said anyway.
But we can just emphasise that, and then I shall have some more notes to bring next week as well for you. So praise God. is Wednesday open doors? No, it's Sunday. Isn't it?
Oh, yeah, but we'll
yeah. All right. Well, for my next session, I shall have some more.
Well, the thing is, with this, it's a good opportunity to read through it again, digest it, and then after you've digested it.
Oh, I love the
fact.
Hey, dear.
Read
rephrase that.
Then you can regurgitate it later. You know, just chew it over.
Good. Well, I hope you've been encouraged. I hope there's been a little something in there for you to preparation.
Psychologically ready. It's
preparing
the rest will follow.
It's preparing oneself.
Yes.
You can prepare yourself this week by praying while you're cooking. The week after, you pray when you should be cooking.
Yes. Maybe so. Good. Excellent. Well, thank you for being here tonight.
Sunday evening when I say I'm fasting, I don't know what you